So it's very clear now that we are all being dragged into World War III. And this war is almost certainly going to get kicked off by the United States attacking Iran. On behalf of Israel, of course. And once that attack takes place, then all bets are off as to how the war expands or who gets involved. But sooner or later, it will almost certainly involve Russia and China. Might involve Pakistan. Of course, Israel will be involved, but Turkey is going to be involved, and it's not even clear how, sort of where Turkey is going to stand on all of this at the moment. Egypt may get involved. Afghanistan, there will be important plays from Afghanistan. India will have to make some major moves, etc. And the Gulf states. Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, etc. This is going to be a world war. And the world war, the conflict, is shaping up into the Western countries versus the non-Western countries, which is, you know, the rest of the world. And most of the world, most of the population, most of the GDP, most of the industrial output is on the side of non-Western countries. The West used to be dominant in all these areas, but that's no longer the case. Today, the West has fallen behind China, of course, in industrial output. It's fallen behind Russia in terms of military output and military technology. And the West has fallen behind even countries like India in terms of having personnel who are willing to work. Where the West still maintains dominance is in its Navy. The U.S. Navy is still the most powerful Navy in the world by far. And the United States still has outstanding satellite technology, surveillance technology, and of course, a competent nuclear weapons inventory. But those weapons are not modernized. They're a couple of decades out of date, and Russia's weapons, such as the Oreshnik systems, are far more advanced. So Russia and China have far better technology than does the United States. And even the F-35 fighter jet is obsolete compared to China's new fifth-generation fighters and the technology that Russia is rolling out, including hypersonic missiles. The U.S. lags far behind China and Russia on drone technology, and the U.S. lags way far behind China in terms of robotics, and especially the ability to scale robotics, industrially speaking. You know, China can scale manufacturing in a way that the U.S. cannot. The U.S. claims to be leading in AI technology, but that's debatable. China is right up there with the U.S. on the most advanced AI engines. And China has a much greater ability to scale AI because it's not limited by energy infrastructure in the same way that the United States is. So if you're really trying to compare East to West, the West is in a losing position. The West doesn't have the rare earth minerals that China has. The West doesn't have the military technology that Russia has, etc. Doesn't have the working population that India has. So the West is actually in a hurry to try to start World War III in order to weaken the non-Western countries like China and Russia and Iran before the West is made further obsolete. That's what you're actually looking at here, is World War III acceleration by the United States. The U.S. wants to hurry up and start World War III in order to have this fight while the U.S. still has an advantage in naval forces and while the U.S. still has its global dollar hegemony, although the use of the dollar is dwindling rapidly worldwide, and the dollar is losing tremendous value, which is also obvious in the rising prices of gold and silver. But understand, the U.S. wants World War III right now because it sees the other countries as gaining in power and capabilities, and the U.S. wants to hobble them, damage them, before they become stronger. So even though Trump may be himself talking about peace, the actions that Trump is taking are promoting war. For example, sending more weapons to Ukraine, sending more weapons to Israel, supporting Israel's bombing of other countries in the Middle East, such as Qatar. So Trump says one thing, but his actions are the opposite, and the actions are all pointing in the direction of escalating things towards World War III. And you'll really know when the U.S. wants to kick off World War III, when there is a false flag operation in the United States, some kind of terrorism action or large-scale event, 9/11 or bigger, that is blamed on Iran or blamed on a terror group that is materially supported by Iran. And once that attack takes place, and once the American population is convinced that, oh, it's Iran's fault, then Trump can launch an invasion of Iran, and you'll hear all the rhetoric on Fox News, like, we have to stop them now, or they're going to be a danger to us forever. If we don't stop them now, they'll be terrorists. They'll be bombing our cities. I mean, it's all the same thing that you heard during the Gulf War in the early 1990s about Saddam Hussein, etc. All exactly the same script, just search and replace the names. But they're going to roll out the same script for a whole new generation of people. But it's the same script. And a lot of sort of weak-minded Americans will go along with it, and they'll say, yeah, you know, hoorah, we got to go kick some ass in Iran. And they're going to get all behind it and get all emotionally rallied and, you know, patriotic fervor. And then the U.S. is going to try to invade Iran, and the U.S. is going to get its ass kicked by Iran, almost certainly, because invading Iran is an incredibly stupid idea. It's almost as bad of an idea as trying to conquer Russia with a land war. Like, history has shown that's a bad idea too, in both cases. With very few exceptions, I mean, all throughout known history, what we call Russia today, or what we call Iran today, the Persian Empire, has almost never been defeated. Same thing with Russia. Almost never been defeated. And when there were defeats, they were, you know, short-lived and overturned relatively quickly. But mostly, leaders like Napoleon or Adolf Hitler, they failed in their attempts. And they could not defeat Russia or Persia. And they found out that it's much more difficult than it looks. So, the real question that you and I should be asking is not whether the United States is going to go to war with Iran. That seems to be a certainty. And Israel's going to be all, you know, cheerleading that. The real question is, what happens when America is defeated by Iran? And there are only a couple possibilities, really. One is that the U.S. goes nuclear, gets really desperate, and starts dropping nukes on Iran. If that's the case, then as Michael Yon just told me in a recent interview, he said that the United States of America would probably be nuked in retaliation, nuked either by China or Russia. And then that just unleashes a full-blown global thermonuclear hellscape. The other possibility is that the U.S. walks away, you know, basically retreats, and gets out of that theater of war entirely. And then the result is that Iran emerges as the power in the region. Iran, having defeated the United States, you know, the great Satan or the great empire, whatever they call it, Iran will be seen by the Gulf states, such as Saudi Arabia, as suddenly incredibly capable, incredibly powerful, especially if Iran demonstrates more advanced weaponry during this conflict, because Iran has advanced ballistic missiles, Iran has advanced drones, and on top of that, I think Iran will have nukes. And so if Iran ends up defeating the U.S. military by doing something like nuking its own territory, where let's say the U.S. military achieves some kind of deep incursion into Iran, like gets into some mountainous region along the, you know, the western border, and then Iran says, well, guess what, we're just going to nuke that whole division by nuking our own mountains. Well, that's going to achieve a couple of things. It will show to the world that Iran has nuclear weapons. also the rest of the world will not be able to accuse Iran of nuking some other country when, in fact, Iran had only nuked itself, you see? But Iran would be nuking the foreign invaders that were occupying its land, showing that the United States military is, in fact, not immune to, you know, nuclear weapons, obviously, and that the military, the U.S. military, is not capable of conquering Iran because Iran is willing to nuke itself. I mean, that's just one scenario out of many that should be strongly considered if the U.S. tries to invade Iran. And again, I think it would be an incredibly foolish thing for the United States to attempt to do, because it will almost certainly lead to a military defeat at the hands of Iran. But the U.S. military leaders suffer from overconfidence, and they think that they can do this. At least that's my current perception of where they are. And you need to understand the intelligence community in the United States, the way it works. Ray McGovern talked about this, you know, former CIA, that the intelligence community tells the leaders what they want to hear. Currently, it wasn't always this way, but it really started to change after Ronald Reagan. Whereas today, the CIA, when they brief the president, they cater their intelligence to fit the narratives that the president wants to hear. And Trump really wants to surround himself with yes men. Trump wants intelligence that supports his current beliefs. So if Trump believes the military is the strongest in the world and can conquer Iran and defeat Iran and force regime change, then that's what the CIA tells him, is all the intelligence that backs that up, even though that may contradict reality. As a result, leaders like President Trump, they can end up in a situation where the intelligence community is just giving them self-reinforcing information that is not factual, and it can lead to overconfidence, and it can lead to bad planning that does not take into account the full picture. For example, the resilience of the Iranian military, or the partnerships between Iran and other countries like Pakistan that are nuclear capable. And so oversight, or a lack of good information, or overconfidence, these are all things that can cause your defeat in war. You know, it's classic Sun Tzu, as people say in English, or Sun Tzu in Chinese. Classic Sun Tzu, which is that you can use your enemy's overconfidence against them, and that the art of war is really the art of deception. Like, the art of war is appearing weaker than you are, showing weakness when you actually have strength, which is what Iran is doing at the moment. And then the failures of war in the West are believing you have more strength than you actually have, showing a lot of strength and a lot of bullying and coercive behavior publicly, but not being able to back it up in terms of actual competency, weapon technology, or troops on the ground. In either case, no matter how you think this is going to go, and this war could be initiated easily in 2026, in any case, the cost of energy is going to skyrocket globally. Obviously, because of supply chain disruptions involving the Strait of Hormuz, you know, the Arabian Sea, the very high likelihood that some of Iran's oil fields will be hit by weapons, and even some of Saudi Arabia's oil fields could be struck by Iran, possibly. And anyway, there are many other possibilities there. Even Qatar and its gas fields could be subject to disruptions or damage in such a conflict. So world energy prices will skyrocket. That will put even much more pressure on Western European nations that are already crumbling under the rising cost of energy, which is causing deindustrialization of Germany. And it's causing, you know, an economic chaos in the UK, and a lot of hardship in France and other countries as well. So imagine what the world is going to look like if then energy sources become even more scarce than they are right now. And guess who has plenty of energy? Well, Russia, of course, has a massive amount of energy, Venezuela has abundant energy, which is why the U.S. is harassing Venezuela right now. The U.S. itself has a very large amount of energy. But China just did a deal with Russia to build the Power of Siberia 2 pipeline that will pipe 50 billion cubic meters of gas per year from the Yamal gas fields in northwestern Russia across Mongolia into northern China to power China's industrial base and its AI data centers and robotics manufacturing. So China is going to be able to actually power its wartime industry and to scale up production of weapons and robots and even AI, which can also be weaponized. China will be doing that by using cheap Russian energy. And cheap Russian energy is just as good as anybody else's energy, you know? I mean, energy is energy. Hydrocarbons are hydrocarbons. It doesn't matter if it comes from Russia or not. It's still going to be very effective for China. China will get it on the cheap, which means that China will be able to scale up at a cost efficiency that Western countries can't replicate. Now, of course, Trump tried to threaten China with secondary tariffs to say, hey, we're going to put 100% tariff on you, on all your exports, if you buy energy from Russia. And China told Trump to go pound sand. And so did India, actually. So Trump is now trying to get the EU to put new sanctions on China and India, and that's not working either. In other words, the world is rejecting Trump's coercion tactics. The world is saying, we no longer take orders from you, America. We're going to buy energy from wherever we want to buy it. And as a result, China and India are going to get all kinds of energy very cheaply, with incredible abundance to power their economies and their war machines, while Western Europe crumbles and the United States of America implodes in financial bankruptcy, burdened by debt, the world abandoning the dollar currency. You're going to see a debt implosion and an abandonment of the dollar used in global trade, which means a plummeting demand for the dollar. And that's going to lead to also plummeting demand for dollar debt, which will be treasuries. And as fewer and fewer buyers around the world are interested in purchasing treasury debt, it means that the Federal Reserve is going to have to print money itself, you know, create it digitally in order to buy our own debt, and that's going to lead down a path of hyperinflation. Which means, that, of course, that U.S. consumers are going to see prices just absolutely skyrocket everywhere. At the grocery store, purchasing health insurance, car insurance, etc. Prices are going to go through the roof on appliances, you name it. So, getting ready for this, I mean, I've taught preparedness for many, many years, and most of you listening, I think, are prepared in one way or another, and some of you are very well prepared, and that's very wise. But this is a time to check your preparedness, shore up any gaps in it, make sure you've covered all the bases. And the one area where I'm not well enough prepared, and you probably aren't either, is in electricity, because the technology is not good yet. You may be aware, I'm waiting for sodium ion battery systems to be able to be installed in your home or on a ranch or a commercial building to have a large amount of power available through a sodium ion system. And that's just now beginning to emerge. That's the area where most of us don't have a good plan. Now, I have a fairly large diesel generator that I can power for a long time, like months, you know, based on how much diesel I have. But diesel generators themselves, being mechanical devices, as you know, they also have oil filters, and they have belts, and they have fuel filters, and they have maintenance. And if you don't do the maintenance on them, then, you know, they stop working. And some of this maintenance has to happen every roughly 250 hours, which is only 10 days, let's say, of running a generator. So every 10 days that you run a generator, you got to turn it off, let it cool down a little bit, swap out, you know, the oil and the oil filter and some other parts, and then fire it back up. So you need a big supply of engine oil. You need a supply of oil filters, because if you wait for World War III, the supply chains are going to be wrecked and you're not going to be able to get those things. So purchasing a generator right now actually requires that you stock up on all these extra parts, where I would much rather have a big sodium ion battery and then a bunch of solar panels, and I can use the sun to recharge the sodium ion. But sodium ion technology isn't very good yet, or it's just not mature yet, I should say. I mean, the tech is good, but the products just aren't available at the scale that I'm looking for. I want a megawatt hour battery made out of sodium ion. That's personally, that's my goal. That's what I want, is a megawatt hour. Just one megawatt. I'm not asking for a gigawatt hour. I only need something 1/1000th of that. Just a megawatt hour. That's all. And it'll probably fit in a small container, like maybe a 10-foot by 8-foot, you know, like a small shipping cube, you know. It'll probably fit in that. And that's what I'm looking for. So wherever you are with your preparedness, think about energy. You may want to get a small solar generator, like the ones that the satellite phone store sells. You may want to get a diesel generator. I don't know. There's a number of options. None of them are great at the moment. They're going to get better, but we might be in World War III before that industry becomes very mature, but I'll keep you posted. In the meantime, stay prepared in every way that you can. Gold and silver are very wise, I believe, to start stacking or expand your stack. And even though the prices are seemingly among the highest we've ever seen, it's probably going to go much, much higher, is my guess. But don't take it as financial advice. Do your own research, etc. But when you're ready for gold and silver, you can find our recommended partner at metalswithmike.com. And that takes you to Battalion Metals, and you can use discount code RANGER to waive the shipping insurance fee if you purchase from them. For other preparedness items, shop with us at healthrangerstore.com. For storable food, iodine. We've got tools from Dawson Knives, you know, different kinds of ranch knives, utility knives, machetes, hatchets, all made out of either MagnaCut or CPM3V. Very high-end metals that are just like space age materials. We've got even more than that, water filters, gravity filters, etc. A lot of great stuff available right now at healthrangerstore.com. And as long as we can keep the supply chain running, we'll keep providing these items for you. But I just don't know how long, the world that we know is going to function. Honestly, I really don't know. I mean, in some ways, it's already been severely compromised in the post-COVID era, but it could continue to still get a lot worse. Well, I think it's going to. All right. It's also a pretty good time to buy ammunition, by the way, because ammunition prices have not skyrocketed yet. So that's something to consider as well. And firearms purchases have not taken off, so it's also a pretty good time to purchase firearms. If you've been needing to add something to your collection, maybe you need a giant elephant gun or something. No, I mean, don't hunt elephants. Elephants are calm, peaceful, intelligent, vegetarian creatures, so don't shoot elephants. But maybe you need to shoot invaders or something. I don't know. You know, there might be a situation, civil war. We might be invaded. I don't know. But if you're thinking about firearms, this is a pretty good time to take a look at those as well. Backup communications, satellite phones, you know the drill. Just double check all your preparedness supplies. Make sure you're all set. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger of Brighteon.com, naturalnews.com, and healthrangerstore.com. And I pray for peace, but I don't think peace is coming. We're going into a war phase. Fourth turning type of stuff. Long-term kinetic war lasting many, many years with economic devastation. Sad to say, that's just where we are. So do your best to navigate it. And thank you for listening. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.